Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back, we'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. Special pre-recorded edition. We're taking an all-star break of our own.
Yeah, let's do that.
Well, we
actually aren't because we're on.
We're doing the show.
We're doing the show. I'll be on an all-star break for a couple weeks, so you guys will be happy about that. Michael will take over the con there, and we'll do accordingly there. But it is the all-star break in baseball.
Yes, indeed. So we are recording this on Wednesday.
That's right.
I'm actually taking a short break. I'm going Thursday, Friday this week. And
where are you going?
Going up to Clear Lake.
Wow. I think I got you beat on this weekend.
My family's one of my mother's birthday, so family time.
Family's good.
Do a little of that, and
I'm getting my Stetson on, going to the Calgary Stampede,
eating some pancakes,
something like that.
Watching some Chuck Wagon.
There's nothing better than Chuck Wagon race. I've seen it actually before. A couple years ago, we went to it. That's an interesting event.
Do you ever read the Beaverton, the Canadian Onion?
I've read it occasionally.
There was a great piece this week in Time for Stampede about how a cowboy in an overturned chuck wagon incident was then put down.
See, that's good. That's funny. Yeah. I like that.
Enjoyed that one.
That's a good one. And that's very
Canadian,
too.
You know what else I enjoyed?
I'm going to say the Home Run Derby.
The Home Run Derby.
100%.
Absolutely.
Jared Mikitiak is totally wrong because he fell asleep this year. I get that people have sort of nodded off on
this.
It's
like a divisive thing. Like it's almost like the NBA skills competition or something where some people are like, oh, no, I'm out on that. It's not entertaining.
Okay. I got a lot of things on this.
It's super entertaining. Not only that.
Let me just start here. The changes they made were awesome. Instead of outs that they do the time thing, I think, well, this thing, if I remember correctly, Hamilton back in the day, I think at the Yankee Stadium, I think he was still hidden like the next day. Like it was like when they still had the outs thing, you could go.
The All-Star weekend was over. It was actually regular season had begun again.
He was still hitting home runs. It was crazy. And so where this does, there's a couple things about, I think, what the rule change makes really a lot of sense. It creates the drama right away. It's a finite amount of time. I like that there's a timeout so the guys can rest a bit. The only thing I don't like, which I thought was a little weird, is that they had to wait till the ball landed before they pitched again. And I think that's kind of ridiculous because it's just like, I want to see
when Aaron Judge is hitting.
If it's a pop fly or the other way around, that it's a no doubter. Like, I don't know if you saw this. So if people were watching closely, now I can't even pronounce his first name. Stanton. Giancarlo Stanton. He was behind Gary Sanchez. It was 17 that Sanchez put up. So what happened is Stanton, if you didn't see it, I'll give you a quick recap, but he was behind very, very quickly. I think he had like 3 or 4 home runs in the first 2.5 minutes. It's something crazy. He took the timeout, and then he literally had to go as fast as possible, and he started getting groove. And that's the whole thing about the Home Run Derby. You get in a groove, right? And what happened was they weren't waiting. If you watch the replay of this, you get back to MLB or whatever, watch Stanton's first round because he doesn't wait. He literally hits, I think, 3 or 4 home runs in about 7 seconds. It's just phenomenal. And I almost want a part of that. The only rule change I would make to what they have, just forget about waiting for. I want to see Judge hit. How many can you hit out in 10 seconds? Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
He was on such a groove in some of those rounds.
It was no doubt. Just
keep it going, right? All that said is, I think, and I think there's a bit, it's a bit passe now. People are like, oh, the home run derby wasn't like it used to be. You know, it's different than the slam dunk. I think it's the opposite. I think they've changed it back where you've got guys, the right guys are in it now, that you got some top name guys. And you've got drama there. Like that first round alone, you know, I wish I was there because that first round was phenomenal. They were all within one, I believe, a home run. And they were hitting bombs. They were hitting it consistently. And it was the young guys, the next generation, hitting these home runs. It was really fun.
Did they explain the rationale at all for having it land before you hit, like you took the next pitch? Like, because I didn't catch the very beginning, so
right,
like,
and I gotta be honest,
explanation,
I'm not too
all?
Sure about that either. I did catch it just as it was beginning, so I'm not too sure if that was new this year. Maybe they were worried about like Judge was gonna hit people, like injure people because
like
he's these
so busy
bombs
catching the previous one that they don't see the fact that another one's like
right because
whistling in.
I'm gonna go on one thing that also was a bit controversial, and it got away because Aaron Judge was so massive. He went through the rules, basically. But he hits this mammoth shot so big that it hits the roof of Marlins Park, right? The roof. So this thing, it's not like it's going straight up in the air. It's going on a trajectory that it's going to go literally out of the park, right? If the roof's not open, that thing is 500 feet home run, right? But it hits the roof and it comes down. And so they
count. It hits Jeff Loria's car in the
right, pretty
lot.
Much, right? Which I would have been great
we
about.
Would have been happy with, yeah.
They don't count the home run because they say it's in the field of play and it didn't get reach the seats, right? Well, it was obviously, it's not his fault that he's literally, that the roof is closed, that he's hitting these bombs. That said, is so what happened is there's a bit of a, if you watch when he has the bonus 30 seconds, they don't know exactly how much he has. So he hits one, everyone thinks he's won, but he still needs to hit another one because they didn't know they counted. Aaron Judge was just ridiculous on this home run derby. So he hits the next one and he wins that first round. He had to hit 23. That's how good Justin Bour was. He had 22. 22 would have won any other contest, you know, in that round. Mm. And Aaron Judge was just in a. I mean, for me, it's sort of like I wish in the slam dunk contest that you would have LeBron in his prime, Kobe and stuff like that. I mean, we just saw Aaron Judge. I mean, we always rail about, hey, they don't have personalities. They don't have selling these things. If they can't sell this guy, the guy is 25 years old, a rookie, 30 home runs, and is a New York Yankee. I don't know what else Major League Baseball needs to do here. Mm-hmm. I mean, I get your Trouts and Harpers and Bellinger and Strasburg and Scherzer. Like, there's a 5-10 guys we can name. Altuve, you know, Carrera, all these guys, right? But Aaron Judge, just on the biggest stage of you've got a exhibition here. I mean, please sell Aaron Judge now. And hopefully he has a long career because this guy is the future. We haven't seen anyone like this. It's like Gronkowski, you know, hitting home runs.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is the one thing. Seeing him, like, because usually in game, obviously he's by himself in the outfield, right? Like,
right.
You're not really getting a perspective. Or if he's at the plate, the catcher's crouched. But seeing him, like, go high five his fellow competitors, like, mid round and realize, like, just how strikingly large he is compared to some of these guys.
Right, right.
Like, it's really, like, perspective, right? I really, in my head, I'd read, yeah, he's tall.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh my God, like, he is. Like looming over these players.
He's actually like Gigantor almost, right? Like, because, you know, Randy Johnson was tall, but he was lean, right? Mm-hmm. But you've got a football player build into a baseball body, right? And so this guy is not only 6'6", but he's 280, right? So it's and he is literally, it looked like he was hitting these with a 2x4, right? It was like Paul Bunyan a bit.
This is the thing I read about, you know, like Stanton. Obviously, you know, accorded himself well, but he exhausted himself,
yeah.
Right? And, you know, if you look at some, like, gifs of him kind of towards the tail end of the competition, he's gassed.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas Judge, like, seems to hit them with such little effort that, like, it felt like he's another guy who could have, like, he'd still be out there. hitting homers, right? Like he.
So what happens at the end?
It's like conservation of energy, and I mean they're mammoth shots. Like you said, the one hits the roof.
Yeah, he's hitting them. He hit 400 of 500+, right? Mm-hmm. So these weren't just like rope shots, you know, just barely get over the world. These were oohs and ahs home runs, right? That's the beauty of this home run. It's an exhibition, right? Yeah. So you want these guys to do this. I mean, Sano at the end, Miguel Sano, a twin
absolutely.
Good for him that he made it to the final.
I was going
to
say he accorded himself well.
Very well. And so at the end, he did really good because it's struggle. They give him two timeouts at the end because they do literally a batting practice before the home run derby, then they're doing they're hitting at max, right? Where I think where Judge was so phenomenal is like it looked like he was doing 70, 80.
Batting practice, obviously, like, sometimes they're trying to practice line drives or like things like these guys are mashing every swing.
Right.
They're trying maximum effort.
Right. These are pretty much 100% all the time, right? And Sano kind of gets in a roll at the end. He gets to, and Judge is cheering him on. And I feel like Judge, he said afterwards, I'm cheering just for the spectacle. I wanted a good event. I think he literally was cheering him on to give him a number because he wanted not just 5-1. He needed 11 to beat him. I mean, he beat him with 2 minutes to spare. He could have had another 10 home runs probably in him, right? The way he was going, it was insane. 47 home runs. They said it was something like 3 miles of home runs he hit in that derby. It's insane. And to me, that brings up, it has people talking, and it's the personalities there a bit. And you could definitely, especially in the All-Star game, where they were doing a selfie picture there, right? Cano and it was Molina. He got the camera, and I think I'm not too sure. It was a Mariner, maybe it was Cano. Anyways, someone will tweet us back and let me know who does. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying the relaxed attitude of it was much better. You could feel that it became much more of the All-Star game. And I feel people were detracting, saying, oh, there wasn't nothing to play for. It was a great game. It was a great game. It was a 2-1. Went to extra innings. The first extra innings home run in 50 years. Like, I don't know what other more you want. We complained the other way when the games like the NFL or whatever.
Blowouts. No one cares.
It was like, 20-19 hockey game or something like that. Yeah. Well, this is a true. The pitchers came to pitch.
I was going
to
say, you had like all-star pitchers pitching at all-star levels.
Right. And so that's what you want. And so sometimes it's Fox had a great thing. What's going to win, the home runs or the strikeouts? And so this game, it was a little bit of both, actually. And then the home run.
Nine, it was strikeouts and then one home run.
Right. And to me, it's just like that's what you want for an all-star game. To me, I felt the guys were playing pretty hard. The American League, it looked like they wanted to win that at the end. They were excited to win it. So another Bud Selig thing off the table, good for baseball, and I think nothing but a positive going into that second half for hopefully the season.
So what did you think of the long bomb bonus time in the home run derby? This is like, because we were talking about rules,
right?
You know, this was one I thought was kind of interesting.
I like that. Like
if you're scraping them over the wall,
you don't get
your four. If you like mash them like Judge or Sano did, you get extra 30 seconds.
Right. So I think it was 440 was the distance. So that's not no small feat, right?
Exactly.
So you had to get two of them, get the bonus 30. I thought it was phenomenal because I think it rewarded, entertaining the fans of, trying to hit a bit, and probably why guys were exerting themselves more to get that bonus 30. At that point, the 30 seconds, in some respects, Sano had one at the end, and he was gassed, right? And he couldn't do much more. But it still gives you a chance. Judge didn't have that. He wouldn't have got out of the first round. We would have missed Judge winning the home run derby, right? So for me, again, I think it's just great. It's an entertainment thing. I think it totally lived up to what an all-star game should be. I was very happy to watch both of them, and I think they can build on that, and I hope they keep getting the big stars doing those.
Speaking of building on it, coming out of the all-star game, Bryce Harper suggested that next year changes be made so that, because now that the World Series home team thing is off the table, right, that like it's just a fun game.
Right.
Is it basically like the same idea that they used with the NHL All-Star game in the past where, there's two captains and then from the All-Stars that like get the votes, they draft two teams to play against each other. So you may have like two teammates who made the All-Star team playing against each other.
I love it. NFL does that. They had like Irvin against Jerry Rice.
Right, yeah, that's
right.
They did
do
that
thing,
yeah.
To me, how the NFL does that, it's great. They make it an event. Of course, the NFL makes everything an event, right?
Yeah.
Why not, right? You get two. You could have had the, you know what they did? They had the first pitch with the Latin American All-Star or Hall of Famers, right?
Yeah.
You could have Tony Perez next to your pick. Like, you could have All-Stars, you know, pick or whatever, right? You could have
Hall of Famers. And you get inductees into the Hall of Fame coming up that year. Those are your captains.
Exactly.
Like, and if there's more than one, they're co-captains.
I'll say this. Anything to give – I think we always will push for anything to get baseball to get more edge into something here. This is their chance before the NFL season starts up and hockey does and basketball – Major League Baseball kind of has this month, right, pretty much, and most of June, really, when the playoffs end, right? So why not? I think it's a phenomenal idea. I'd love to see Bryce Harper against Scherzer, right? Like, I mean, that's what he, you know, why do they have to be on the same team? Who cares if it's national? Like, I mean, I get it, but in some respects, like, this would be the perfect time to start doing it now. Anyways, they're all tied. National League, American League are tied up. They're tied exactly on runs, too, in the All-Star game. Like, why not take a five-year break or something and say, hey, we'll do this for – or even a test pilot of a couple years and see how it goes. And if it doesn't, you go back to the system, right? I mean, they used to also have All-Stars against the World Series champions back in the day, too, right? I mean, you can – I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I get that this is the system you've done this, but I think Rob Manfred has been good about, hey, let's push some boundaries here. Let's try and connect to this younger generation. Like Bryce Harper, I don't know if you saw the interview he does on field with Fox.
It was
fantastic. He was a great personality, right? And again, he can do it. What does it matter? And he makes a catch while he was still doing like an interview during that day in that game, right? Like, to me, like, all this stuff is nothing but a positive. People talking about baseball and the players, because to me, it's like, it's all about the players. Like, basketball is so big right now in the States, right? Like, they're talking about all these off-season trades and stuff. Like, you've got these guys. Look at the throw that Mookie Betts does.
The cutoff to Arenado.
It wasn't even close.
Just,
like, people have no idea how good that is.
Yeah, like, he looked like, dang, why did I choose to tag up and run that? Because it's like, it was not close.
No, it wasn't close at all. But again, like we said, it's All-Stars against All-Stars. So, you know, that's why Mookie Betts is one of the best players out there. Right?
Elite level.
And
fielder.
More people see that at the end of the day, more people should know about that. And there are things about I think the thing about them doing the stats stuff with trajectory. Wow.
Trajectory.
Yeah, there you go. Just gives it more enhanced. Like, it would be like sort of like saying, you know, you're throwing an 80-yard bomb, a long bomb, or you're hitting half-court shots. That's what the equivalent of hitting these home runs or judges or throwing guys out from center field a second.
Yeah,
you know
I have to give. I guess it was Fox who did the broadcast of the home run derby as well.
Right.
I got to give them credit for like the whoever was doing the chirons, like all the information.
Oh, I loved
it. You know, not just trajectory, but like bat exit speed and all that stuff. Like, it was really well integrated into the look of the game, of the night. And like, just, it wasn't like overwhelming, but it was all there.
Right. And it goes towards the younger generations in the sabermetrics a bit and trying to bring this generation into baseball. Why not? To me, it's just nothing but a positive. I love the whole All-Star thing. I wish that Jeffrey Lurie would not get any more money about that, but hopefully he'll be out soon if Jeter and them pick it up. And
certainly aspirations for him to get out of it. So
that would be great. Can we do a little bit of All-Star
break? Of course we
break,
can. Cue up the second half.
I'll ask you first here. You can cue up if you got anything. But do you have off your top of your head or while you've been following it this year? And what do you think would be some of the surprises you thought? I would say your Twins.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The Twins being where they are, I would have been happy for them to just kind of be in the playoff race or like not be a seller at the trade deadline, right? Like those would have been more than happy. I mean, as it sits, 2.5 games back of Cleveland.
Did they almost lose 100
they
games
dropped
last year?
Two at the end there, and that, you know, took them from a half game back. Oh boy, I can't remember their record last year.
It was bad.
I'll be honest. I think I blocked it from my mind.
Yeah, sure, sure. Like... You should, right? Because, but this year is phenomenal that they're in a race with Cleveland, which was the perennial favorite to get back to the World Series. That they're right on their heels. They've been leading that division for a lot of the year. I thought the Twins has been one of the great surprise stories.
Yeah, the Brewers too.
Mm.
I mean, obviously, this goes hand in hand with the Cubs struggling, right?
Right.
Because they play each other. Like, that division has not been as, like, it was not dominated by the Cubs like everyone thought.
Right.
You know, especially coming off the World Series win last year, and it's a young team, and they pretty much kept most of the people. I think the expectation was the Cubs would just, like, ravage the Central. And so someone like Milwaukee would be at the bottom of the, like, them and the Pirates would probably
right.
be duking
exactly.
it out for, like, last place in that division. That's not the case. As it was, 50-41 at the break. And 5.5 games up on Chicago and St. Louis. That to me. I mean, Eric Thames
at the
beginning of the season has like a large part to do with that. But their pitching has been good. They like
Jimmy Nelson.
Yeah,
there's a good surprise there. I mean, there's been some great breakout stuff. I'll also give one other team some props is Arizona. As much as they're 7.5 back in the division, I mean, first of all, the Dodgers have an insane record.
Like,
so
yeah.
let's just take that out. But they're in for the wild card. Arizona was very much like the Twins.
I think they're on pace for another 100 win season.
Oh, for the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, they're on a crazy pace right now, very much like Houston. But Arizona, where last year, very much like the Twins, who just had a disastrous year, and all of a sudden they've righted the ship, and Zach Greinke would be, you know, comeback player of the year,
like,
I would
yeah,
say,
I was
right
say
there.
Most improved.
I mean, he's had a phenomenal thing. So when we go through that, we touched on, I mean.
Oh, and then on the other end of the spectrum in terms of surprises, because it's an even year, the Giants.
Giants, yeah.
Right? Like, their record, 34-56, a .378 winning percentage, and 27 games back of the Dodgers.
Right. They're so bad.
Not just 20, like 5 games back of San Diego.
Right. Exactly. Where San Diego would be the perennial bottom of the barrel.
Right.
They're bottom of that barrel. They're past
the
barrel.
There's like the basement, and then now they've created a sub-basement.
Yeah. It's crazy how, I mean, hey,
they're storing the jams in that sub-basement.
You know, again, you know, you take your 3 World Series anytime in this decade and go through a season like this, but it's hard to see that, right? It kind of shocks you a bit when they're that bad. Like, I mean, they're just, that's like in their career pretty bad. I mean, you know, no different than when
they are the second worst team in the majors this season so far.
I
only
never
Philly.
Would have thought that.
Only Philly is worse.
Yeah, and Philly.
And
you
Philly
see
was
that.
Expected to be bad because
they're
very
tanking,
young.
Pretty much.
And they,
yeah, they're trying to regroup and get better.
They're
like
in the midst of they're in the midst of the Philadelphia experiment, which is, you know, the process is apparently moved from the NBA.
Yes.
Over to the MLB.
Well, why not? I mean, no different. I mean, look what happened with Houston. Houston did sort of that same thing at the major league level, right?
And like it worked.
Two or three years ago where they were just, I mean, literally 100-plus losing season. And now this year, they're on a record pace. Now, you got to get lucky a bit. You got to get these guys, that these prospects that you pick up, that they've come to fruition. It's a little different than hockey or basketball.
Right,
or,
it doesn't need like one player, one franchise player.
Right, you
can't
get LeBron James as much. Even
around.
Like, even remember like Strasburg or Harper. Those are big. It hasn't equated to Washington being, you know, they're top.
But they had
year.
To get Scherzer and a few other, like
exactly.
Murphy and stuff. Like, they had to bring in other people. It wasn't like Strasburg alone was going to do it.
Exactly.
But, I mean, Luhnow, his process was definitely, like, acquire as many prospects as possible. And, you know, basically, like, baseball prospectus is, like, top 100 prospects. I'm going to have, like, 50 of those people.
Right.
I'm going to bulk buy this stuff when they're young, and if these people pan out, then we've got a solid roster in like 3-4 years, right? Once they make their way through, and that's what's happened, right?
It's phenomenal, and they're on a streak. I mean, if you're a Blue Jay fan, you saw it pretty evident at the end, the last day of the first half.
That was a way to go out.
Hey, they broke the shutout.
That really was evident of like the Jays season, right?
Both
like,
ways, right? How bad kind of the Jays are going now and how good the Houston are. I mean, it was 19-1 was the score, and you know, the one flattered the Jays, really. They weren't even close in that game, right? Like, they had some, they would get a couple.
That
I actually watched, exactly. I watched some of that game because I had a couple of fantasy guys on the Houston, so I was cheering them. But, you know, the Jays got some runners in some of those innings, but they never could produce anything out of it. And where they're looking for the long ball all the time, it's just not there this year. And then they have no pitching. And so it's a very bad combination where they're scuffling. And every time they kind of got close to 500, they just drop back. And right. I think that's who they are.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think the like Mark Shapiro gutting of the team is already happening, right?
It's imminent.
Like, the same thing he did with the Cleveland team a few years back before he moved over to Toronto.
Get ready for the fire sales of Donaldson and Tulowitzki and even Batista and
possibly Osuna.
Yeah. Oh goodness. I would think if they're smart they may want to keep. Maybe they can throw.
I mean, he's super young. Yeah. But you know,
if you get a Godfather offer about some
team that needs a closer.
I would say this, if the Nationals come a-calling, you know, try and get one of their top prospects or whatever you've got there. It's interesting, but the Jays, you know, their window closed. And we kind of knew that going in, that they were going to be in tough, but unless they get a phenomenal run or they find a David Price this year, which I don't think they're not in the deal for buying. So unless they get it from what they have in that locker room, it's not going to happen.
You look at those squads in Boston and New York, and these are young, talented players. This is a next 4 or 5 years thing for them.
Yeah, I mean, and they were not good for a couple years, and that's where the Jays could take advantage. And good for them, they've had a good run, but they might have to rebuild here. Before we go here, let's go real quick about some individual stuff. You got a Cy Young or our MVP for either league?
Well, I mean, really, Cy Young, as it seems to do
all
every year on the National League side, comes down to Max Scherzer and Clayton Kershaw.
Like, yeah,
they're both phenomenal. I mean, like Scherzer this season.
Ridiculous.
Has been ridiculous. Kershaw, Kershaw's to the level where his like regular is like elite level. So you kind of almost like underestimate or like in some way downplay what he does every time he gets the ball. But Scherzer like is like electric in terms of like his strikeouts and just command.
And the thing is, both teams are really going well, so the teams are going to
support that.
Right. So, Scherzer is lights out. I mean, he's almost a no-hitter every time he comes up. And Kershaw, actually, he finally got a complete game. I guess that was his one knock. He doesn't finish games and stuff like this. But all he does is he just does a complete game to end the first half, gets to his 14th win, and, you know, has 10 or 12 strikeouts again. And you know, he's also – he gets the knock is because he's just too consistent, I think, in some respects.
That's,
we're going to look back and go, look at this guy. Like, this guy is – I mean – he's just been just so amazingly good for such a long stretch. He reminds me a bit of the Tim Duncan of.
I was gonna say bring it back to the NBA. Like this is like the LeBron not being MVP
exactly.
for the last 4 years.
You
right?
can't
like,
give it to you know, Cy Young every year, right? I mean, but maybe you could this year. Well, it'll be interesting. It'll be that tight on the American League. You got any?
Sale.
Yeah,
certainly is the. I would say the front runner.
Yes.
I mean,
I don't know. I'm just trying to think off my roller. Santana.
Irvin. Big Irv, yeah.
He's scuffled a little bit at the end here.
He obviously had a bit of a downturn towards the end. And, I don't know about sustainability, right? Like, I think his XFIP, which is like
right.
the fielding independent pitching, is not necessarily indicative of this being like a sustained level. Keuchel.
Oh, yeah.
Also, could
he
get like
back.
The AL most improved
yeah.
as well? And McCullers, both of those guys have had really strong starts to the season. And obviously, like you said, the Astros are on a historic pace and they're two of the reasons why.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. You've got some historic stuff kind of going on there. For MVP, you could have the rookie and the MVP for the first time. I Aaron Judge could be both of them. The guy's going for a triple crown.
Yeah.
Like, that's what people forget. I mean, it's a little bit different. I thought one perspective
was interesting.
We haven't
had one for about 5 years since Miggy, was the last. Yeah.
But think about this. He's 25. Bryce Harper's 24. He's been in 5 All-Stars. That's the thing people forget. Aaron Judge is older. We treat him sort of the same. But do you know what I'm saying?
Harper, we've kind of, like, forgotten just how phenomenal he is because he came up so early.
Right.
That, like,
it doesn't happen a lot in
baseball.
He's
a vet.
Yeah, he's a real vet, right? And so, but what Aaron Judge is doing is what Bryce Harper is doing, right? But just 5 years into his career. That's the crazy thing, right? So, I mean, hey, Judge, if he keeps going and he's on projection and he hits 60 home runs this year plus, oh my goodness. I mean, the Yankees win the division. Well, it'd be, first of all, he's the rookie, no doubt.
Absolutely.
But he could be the MVP depending on sort of Sale and a couple other players, right? But to me, yeah, you could have the same as what Ichiro did back in the day when he came up, right? I mean, it's just that immediate impact he's doing.
Yeah, no, it's a fantastic time for baseball fans.
It's awesome.
It's
I love it.
Out of time for us. It's time for democracy now.
Nice.
Thanks for tuning in.
Strike three, you're out.